Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let me tell you what. I find it hard to believe the coaching staff doesn't want the rap music.
They want recruits.
Yes.
They want recruits. Anyway. So, I do appreciate anyone listening and calling in, and I'm not saying that there aren't people who have those objections, but I am saying that if they're beating people 46-7, you hear many fewer of those objections.
And
you get more people there.
I would also teach Ryan the important lesson of you got to start covering, dude. Like, you want to get the fan base off you? Start covering.
Did not cover either the last 2 weeks. And they're a 20-point favorite now over Temple.
Mm-hmm.
But the not covering is all sort of part of it. It's like, are you being aggressive and are you, you know, eviscerating people? You know, like that. In the end, that's a lot to ask. It is funny. This team used to win 2 games a year and we were just like, just get to a bowl. And now it's like, how greedy can we be?
Yes.
Win and be fun. But we're seeing it matters. All right. We were late to get to Chris Harrington. We'll talk to Chris coming up next. Then we had a full wild day of NFL stuff we got to talk about as well. It's Grizz Media Day. We'll talk to Chris about that when we return. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Radio Free Europe, the debut single from R.E.M. in honor of Media Day today.
So Derrick Rose showed up at Media Day without his shirt on. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, Derrick Rose showed up at Media Day not wearing a shirt, and the idea was to prove all the fitness work that he had done this summer. So are you going to go shirt, no shirt today?
I'm definitely going shirt.
I'm going shirt as well.
Never been a shirts and skins media day. I would suggest not doing that.
Yeah. So all right. We'll talk about the various things. Let me start with Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is not going to be reporting to the Suns today because they are going to let him sit out until they can find a trade destination for him. He said that in all caps on Twitter. We talked about this briefly Friday. What now? What do you think now? How about the Grizzlies being the trade destination for him?
I mean, I think Jay Crowder makes some sense on the Grizzlies. I'm not sure. They just started construction in the building. Do you need to call me back and have me relocate, or is it?
We can hear you right now. Okay. Yeah, we can.
This was not happening until just now.
Where are you? Are you in the?
I'm at Crosstown, and suddenly they just started construction in the atrium. That was not happening.
And we can hear you so far. Right now, we heard a little banging, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so I think Crowder makes a lot of sense on the Grizzlies. I'm not sure that a trade between the Grizzlies and the Suns makes a lot of sense for Phoenix, in part because I mean, it's sort of hard to do a trade between two teams that have the same goals. That's not really how trades tend to work.
Right.
The main thing the Grizzlies would want to trade in terms of matching salary is Danny Green, who won't play until spring if he plays at all. Presumably Phoenix, who's trying to win a title this year too. If they're trading Jay Crowder, they're looking for something to help them now. So I think in the absence of other options, you could see that, but I assume Phoenix will have better options than that. The one thing I could see if it were a three-team deal and you get a team that's not really competing in the mix, like I could see, you know, the Phoenix doing a deal with San Antonio where they get, you know, a Doug McDermott or a Josh Richardson or one of their sort of rotation players, and then the Spurs as a team not trying to compete has no use for Jay Crowder, or they reroute him somewhere else.
Now, Jay Crowder was at least perceived to be, and all the public comments at the time were that he was a good locker room guy, good leader, all of that when he was here last time. But do you wonder at all that if Jay Crowder wants let's pretend something could be worked out to bring him to the Grizzlies, that he wants a bigger role than the Grizzlies would be prepared to cede to him, given that they might want one of their young players to ascend into this role?
Well, sure, but, like, you don't always get what you want. I just don't know. I mean, part of the question here is what's going on with him in Phoenix that, you know, has him wanting to trade? Is it that they're talking about bringing him off the bench behind Cam Johnson, or is there more than that? I think Crowder's reached the point in his career where he's going to have a mid-rotation role no matter where he goes. Like, there may be places where he would start in Memphis. Like, he might start initially, but he would not start once Jaren Jackson came back. But like Jay Crowder's going to be a middle of the rotation guy no matter where he goes.
Yeah, I can see that. Anyway, that is certainly interesting. Do you, as the Grizzlies now then, try to figure out who is going to start? First, we will get some kind of an update on Jaren Jackson Jr., even if it's to say, and I gather it might be, that he is on schedule. If they say he is on schedule, what is schedule?
Well, I mean, what they said initially was the 4 to 6 months, and based on that schedule, the 4 months would have it early November, and the 6 months would have it early January.
That's a pretty big gap, 4 to 6 months. Now that you get to the meaningful season, that's a pretty big gap between early November and early January. I guess that's the most newsworthy thing that we expect to hear out of this. But whatever. There'll be some kind of an update about Jaren Jackson Jr., even if it's to just say that he is on schedule. As they start to figure this out, do you imagine by the end of the preseason, like, will they have their answer here, or is this something that they're going to be figuring out for the first, basically until Jaren comes back? Like, how can you imagine it unfolding, the jostling for Jaren's job or that role?
Oh, I think they'll make some decision on what they're doing in terms of a starter and a rotation for opening night. And I think odds are they'll stick with that. I think it would be unlikely that they would have a starter on opening night that they would change a week later unless it was some other injury-related thing. I can't imagine, like, you know, whatever they glean from training camp and preseason, I think will not be so shaky that, like, you go out opening night and whoever it is, like, plays poorly and then you change it. I think that's unlikely, given that it won't be. It'll be probably at most 2 months, but probably less than that.
What do you think the odds are that Jake LaRavia gets this job? Obviously, he did not have a promising summer.
I think decent. I think you got to be careful overdoing summer league a little bit. I think, you know, there's sort of four real options, it seems to me, and that's Clark, LaRavia, Aldama, or going to small ball with Dylan and Zaire together at the forward. I think they really like LaRavia. They spent two picks to get him at 19, which is fairly high. He's a multiple-year college player. He is the kind of player that in the past they have, like, forced into the rotation. And I think they would do so again if they thought he was up to it. His skill set, that's like a stretch the floor, move the ball, don't need it a lot, sort of fits. And so I wouldn't rule that out at all.
How about David Roddy? He was good in the summer.
I got no feel for Roddy. Yeah, he was good in the summer. I mean, you know, Josh Shelby was good in the summer. I don't know. I really, I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
saying
no, that. I don't no, I know that.
Good.
Like, yeah.
I'm saying I really don't know. His game, it's hard to find comparisons for him among NBA players in terms of his combination body skill set. And to me, it's hard to look at him in summer league and like translate that to NBA. So I really have no idea.
What's the rotation going to look like at the two? Obviously, Bane.
Well, I mean,
yeah, Bane, and then yeah, Conchar.
I think that's the idea. I mean, you trade Melton, you give Conchar the extension. You didn't really add another. I mean, that's only the weakest position on the team depth wise. I think you'll see times where they'll play. You know, we're talking about Dylan and Zaire starting together at the forwards. I think there'll be times we see them together on the wing, and one of you call one of them the two. You know, there'll be lineups where if you want to call Zaire the four, you call him the four. I think there'll be lineups where if you want to call him the two, you can call him the two. And so I think they're set up to do some of that.
Last year when we came into the – I don't know what you were saying the bar should be last year, as if there is really a bar. But I think the hope was, hey, if you could just not be in the play-in game, that would be great. And – I wasn't prepared to say that being in the play-in game was any kind of a disaster last year. But I think there was a general feeling like, boy, that would be a good goal to have not being in the play-in game last year, which, of course, we then ratcheted the goals up seemingly every step of the way as the season progressed. Now, does it feel like top four seed in the West would be that same kind of a reasonable goal? Or is that... Yeah, where do you what heading into this media day? Where do you put the bar?
Yeah, I mean, you get into like really sort of narrow sort of semantic territory in terms of like goal versus like acceptable or like, you know,
right,
to me,
right.
That's slightly different thing.
Yeah.
So in terms of goal, top four I think is a good goal. In terms of like this is fine, I think it's six. I think to me there's so little separation on paper among the top six and maybe seven and maybe eight teams in the West, that I have a hard time putting expectations for any one of them that you have to be a top four team or whatever, or your season's been unacceptable. I just think it's too much of a cluster. And so I think top four is the right goal for the regular season. And I think avoiding the play-in is an acceptable outcome just because of the depth of talent among the teams.
It's funny, Jeffrey was, when we were talking about this, he put it in terms of wins, like 50 wins. And maybe that's better because that's what you can control, whereas top four, you're dealing with, it's all relative, you know, so who the hell knows
right. Where
it's going to be. I like thinking about it better because it's really where you finish is more meaningful than the number of wins in some ways. You know, you're trying to get a home playoff series, et cetera. But to bring it back to what you just said, what teams, in fact, in the West do you think should be an expectation, a disappointment if they're not in the top four? Golden State, clearly the defending champions, right?
I don't know that I feel that way strongly about anything. Just because I think, because you hit a certain number. I could say I feel that way about Golden State. I feel that way about Phoenix. I feel that way about the Clippers. I feel that way about Denver. The Grizzlies were second in the West last year, so you should feel that way. Now you're at five already. And you don't have a Minnesota team that has three of the top 25 players in the league. I just think the top, and you have Dallas, who is
and
the
that's Dallas.
MVP candidate who was in the conference finals last year. I just think that the talent is so bunched. Now, it's going to separate itself in the regular season through injuries and various things. So it's not going to end this way. But to start this way on paper, I think you could talk yourself into as many as seven teams winning the West.
So, and you don't, at first you were talking about it as six. Do you, so Golden State, Phoenix.
Well, I'm doing this off the top of my head.
I know, so, yeah. I know. But Golden State, Phoenix, the Clippers, Denver, the Grizzlies, Minnesota, and Dallas.
And that gets you to seven, right?
Yeah, do you put them, that's seven. Do you put them all in the same bucket, or do you have?
Not quite. I'm a little more skeptical on Dallas. But again, Dallas was in the conference finals last year and has a top five player in the league. But I don't, that team top to bottom, I don't think is as good as these other teams, talent-wise. So I don't, that's the one I'm squishiest on. And Minnesota sort of has to prove it with this fit. So I'm a little squishier on them, too, but I think they're upside. Like, if you told me Minnesota's going to win the West in the regular season, I'd say, okay. Like, sure, I mean, I can see it if it all clicks. But I'm a little squishier on those two teams, so I would put them a half step behind those other five.
And that, by the way, is those seven, and we have not mentioned the team that has
New
Anthony,
Orleans.
That has Zion.
New Orleans, right.
Or the Lakers. I was going to go Lakers, but yes, you could have done either one. That gets you to nine. And those teams, I can't really imagine the Lakers winning the West but they got
that
LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know, like
that team's bad after those two guys.
But it's I can't imagine them being I can imagine them being six though. Clearly, you know, I can imagine. You just can't imagine because injuries. LeBron and AD aren't going to play enough games at a high enough level to win the West. But you could imagine New Orleans. I mean. As a
that team has
total
tons
flyer.
Of talent.
Yeah.
That team has tons of talent. If Zion comes back in what he was 2 years ago, which, by the way, was an all-NBA player and one of the three or four best offensive players in the league, the one healthy season he had, and like Brandon Ingram and C.J. McCollum and, like, you know, Jonas and Herb, that team's got tons of talent.
So that's nine teams. That is nine flipping teams, if you include New Orleans and L.A., who could all be, you don't imagine.
That's why if the Grizzlies finish six, I'm not going to say, this has been a disaster. I'm going to say, okay, it depends on how the season goes. You know, if all these teams are as good as I think
it
they
is
are,
weird
they finish six,
to be
and you have six
it is,
good teams.
It is
you know?
Weird to be a young – it is not a usual position, and I'm not saying it's anyone's fault or it's not accurate, to be an ascending team with a group of, you know, young – young, gifted players who just finished second in the West and say, yeah, they might finish sixth this year or seventh. That's, you know, whatever else. And it'll be okay.
It is a weird thing. The stars sort of aligned last year. They finished second in the West in a season where Jamal Murray played zero games. Zion Williamson played zero games. Kawhi Leonard played zero games. You know, Paul George missed a huge chunk of the season. Michael Porter Jr., who might be the third best team for Denver, missed most of the season. I mean, it was just one of those kind of things. So if those teams bounce back, it's just, you know, if all those players had played all of last season, I don't know if the Grizzlies are second. They might have been, but I don't know. I don't know that they would have been.
It's funny to look around. I like Media Day. It goes on a little long, and it's a little whatever, but it's fun. It's fun to see everybody again. And then I look like looking around the league to see the various things from around the league. We've seen Derek Rose with his shirt off. That was entertaining. And then Kevin Durant just sitting there in a Brooklyn jersey is sort of fun in and of itself. And then Russ is going to be there in L.A. Like, it's this is both remarkable for the players that moved this offseason and remarkable for the players that didn't move this offseason. I think you described the Grizzlies as one of the more drama-free summers because it feels like the summer has been loaded with drama all over everywhere, right? I mean, doesn't that sort of, I don't know.
Honestly, I wrote that. I wrote that column. It came out on Thursday last week. Uh-huh. So it's been out a while. But I wrote it before the Ime Udoka stuff really happened. So I didn't even include Boston in the dramatic situations.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got to get down there, and I got to get down there in a little bit. So I will see you at FedEx Forum. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington with the Daily Memphian. You can read his coverage, Drew Hill's coverage, my coverage of the Grizzlies Media Day at the Daily Memphian. And then you can go get yourself a delicious dinner at Bounty on Broad. I'd start the new season with a 12-ounce ribeye steak. With sautéed red potatoes It's got butter on it. Green peppercorn butter on it. Absolutely fabulous. Get the chicken mock chew. That's Jeffrey's new favorite. Roasted half chicken, ham, fresh corn, poblano peppers, and sauce creole. You know what I do? I'd get those two things and go with someone else and then split them. I'm a big believer in splitting because you get to taste more things. It's funny. I do split the cornmeal fried oysters because, like, it's an appetizer. You feel like you should split it. I like eating them all myself, honestly, because they're my favorite fried oysters anywhere. The Brussels, split those. Those are delicious. You can split those and have yourself a time of it. It's Bounty on Broad, beautiful restaurant right there at Broad Avenue. Phone number is 410-813-1, 410-813-1, 2519 Broad Avenue. We're going to come back. It was a lamentable day in the NFL yesterday. And listen, worse for John Martin than for me. That's what I got to do. You got to look over at someone who's less happy than you. And worse for John Martin than for me. But it was a miserable day in the NFL. Jeffrey's Giants still undefeated. We'll talk about that when we return. Jeff Gawkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Football season is underway. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Safe, secure, official partner of the NFL. And right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to a grand. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win, up to a grand. So go ahead, you download the app, FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. You then go ahead and place your first bet. It could be for $10, it could be for $999, whatever it is, up to $1,000. If you do not win, you get your money back in more bets. Almost hard to believe. It's true. Download the app. Use promo code Calkins. Start tonight. Must be 21 or older. Present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawal. Free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789. So, Jeffrey, how does it feel to be a fan of one of the three undefeated teams in the NFL?
Can you ask me again after tonight? Because it feels like a lot of pressure on the Giants going up against Cooper Rush. Because really, like, the Giants are one of the remaining undefeated simply because of the fact that they're playing on Monday Night Football.
Well, that is true. That is true. But it is still also true. They are one of the whoever would have freaking imagined at this
certainly
stage,
not me,
that the three undefeated teams, even if you knew it was just because of Monday Night Football, would be the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Giants.
I think if we were power ranking, right, the Eagles would have been the first
of likelihood.
Of the ones that are still remaining. Yeah.
Well, let's do a different thing. Let's do a power ranking right now of the league. We'll talk about these specific games here in a minute. It's been thrown into total freaking chaos by this weekend. So you got to say the Eagles number one, right?
Yes, of the undefeated teams?
No, no. Of all the teams in the league, I'm doing a power ranking.
In terms of who I would bet to win the Super Bowl?
In terms of right now, power ranking.
I mean, are right we really now, just going to ignore?
Who's done the most?
The Dolphins.
You think the Dolphins get the power ranking? Well, if they look the best, I guess so.
I mean, well, let's take a look at it. They beat the Patriots week one in kind of like a tough win.
Right.
They have the massive comeback against the Ravens.
Right. And Ravens look like a good team.
I mean, to me, I told you, I go, I still think the Ravens are really good. And then they beat the team that has been probably the most impressive thus far. Like, who has done more than they have?
Oh, God, I just instinctively, I blanch at putting the Dolphins number one.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but like,
Let's do it in terms of most apt to win the Super Bowl. You wouldn't, just those two. Who would you say more, if you could pick one team to win the Super Bowl, Eagles or Dolphins?
I think I'm going with the Dolphins.
More likely to win the Super Bowl than the
Correct.
Eagles. I don't think so, just because of the NFC.
I mean, that's fine, but to me, like with the Eagles, they've beaten Detroit. They beat primetime Kirk Cousins. And then yesterday they beat the Commanders. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I'm not even saying like, oh, I don't believe like whatever. But
you know, they've looked great in beating.
They have looked dominant. Yes, because even
in
though
the way that much easier schedule than the Dolphins.
Even though the Detroit game was close in the final score, when you watch that game the whole time, you're like, okay, the Eagles are the better team. Like they were clearly up for two scores for most of that game.
Okay, so if our top two teams in the power ranking. Are those two teams, which they are. They have to be, right?
No. Not if it's a power ranking. Like, if we're doing college football ranking rules, then yes, I agree. If it's resume.
That's fine. College football ranking.
Yeah. Rules. If we're doing resume, I agree. Those have to be the two
it's
teams.
It's sort of a blend. Sure. Resume and what we know. Like, I wouldn't put the Giants there, even though they're, absolutely you know, not. Whatever. So
even if the Giants win tonight, I still
wouldn't
even
put if them. The Giants, yes. Maybe I might slip them in some, but so... It's sort of, it's vague.
Yes.
It is vague. It's a combination of what have you done.
You keep the rules vague so you can't actually take criticism.
No, what have you done and come on now. There's a little bit of come on now.
Sure.
Let's look at the team in front of
right.
us. Like, I still think the Chiefs are awesome.
Yes. I still think the Bills are awesome.
They got undone by their special teams yesterday.
Yes. And then the Bills got undone by injuries.
The problem with the Bills being undone by injuries.
Some of those injuries, like Micah Hyde's not coming back.
Micah Hyde's not coming back.
Correct.
And that, who knows? What's interesting about that game is that when it became 14-all and the Dolphins drive down the field and tie it, boom,
yeah.
Right? I'm like, oh, hell, they're just going to carve up the Bills. This is not, I can't watch my hobbled Bills
yes.
get carved up knowing that Micah Hyde should be there, right?
And that isn't really what happened.
That's not what then happened.
No.
What really happened is over the last 30 minutes of the game, their freaking vaunted offense scored 3 points.
Correct. And Josh had one of his worst throws I've ever seen on the fourth down throw. Like, that was a terrible throw.
Yeah, it was a terrible throw.
And then they looked like they had never practiced, like, they'd never practiced, like, clock management situations.
Well,
like,
they are 0-7 in one score. In their last seven one-score games.
They can only
games,
win in dominating fashion.
They are 0-7. But in some ways it was heartening because they didn't get lit up. It was like, okay, if the defense can do that, you know, if the defense can hold everyone at 21 points.
It's why I know everyone sits there and goes, well, if receivers becoming one of the most important positions, you have to have guys that can cover them. I vehemently disagree. If you want to build a good defense, go get dudes up front. Get monsters up front because the rules are such that you can't cover these guys anyway, so good luck. You might as well just get to the passer.
So what are you doing in your college football blended mm-hmm. power ranking? Who are your top five teams in the NFL right now?
So I'm going to put the Dolphins one. I'll put the Eagles two.
Then what?
Then I'm going to go Bills three, KC four. And I think you have to tip your cap, right? Packers five, because right now the Packers their blemish is a week one lifeless performance. Well, how many times have we seen
their
Packers
blemish
week
is
one?
Also scoring 14 points in week three,
tough hard fought win against,
and also and also doing nothing in the second half in week two. Their blemishes, they don't look like the Packers.
Except defensively.
Defensively, they look awesome.
Correct. And you do have to play both sides of the football.
Right. And in the end, I guess you figure Aaron Rodgers will figure it out.
Well, I mean, yesterday I thought he did more to win than Brady did.
Oh, he certainly did more than Brady to win, but did he do enough to win a super, to be a Super Bowl? So that's an interesting thing. You could there. Who else would be a contender for that? The Rams have righted themselves after getting blown out by the Bills. They could be in that discussion. The Ravens, honestly, could be in that discussion, I suppose.
I think you could put the Ravens there realistically.
I think the Ravens could realistically be there. How about Lamar, man? Another freaking five
contract
touchdowns.
Year. Lamar is one of my favorite Lamars.
It's awesome. Is interesting. Everyone,
it's amazing. It's so much
just
fun.
Loves him sticking it to him.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Well, he did also want the.
Oh, he wants the guarantee.
He wants the Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I mean, they basically were willing to give him the same deal that
everybody else got, just not the Deshaun Watson.
Well, they were right. Willing to give what Denver gave Russell Wilson. Everybody's going, Russell got paid. And I mean, if he wants to bet on himself, by all means.
How about Jacksonville in that power ranking, baby?
I think the Jags are not a fluke.
No, I think they're legit.
Like, now this is the ultimate when everyone says I'm ridiculous about Herbert. If Tua would have done what Herbert did yesterday,
and he would have just thrown him in the trash can,
correct.
Forever.
And then on the flip side, if Herbert would have done what Tua did yesterday and beat the Bills, we would have to be listening to an entire day of Herbert is the truth. Herbert is the truth. My whole deal with him is I think he is immensely talented. I do not believe that he is some type of generational quarterback.
Do you believe that Tua was concussed?
Absolutely. I do not buy the back. What was it? Jeff, don't you hate when your concussion falls into your lower back?
What they said was is that the concussion wasn't a concussion because on the prior hit,
he
had his lower back.
And he'd been hurt. He'd been dealing with the back.
It was a delayed back injury
that
kicked in after he got hit in the head, and that's why he was wobbly. And anyone who would even be slightly cynical enough to think it was anything other than I don't know how you live with yourself.
Now, I want to give a shout-out to my aunt. My aunt's a big-time Alabama fan, and she pointed this out, and I thought it was a very good point. His nemesis is going to be him being Tua. Is that he's prone to injuries on plays that don't seem dangerous or that hard hitting. And if you think about it, like his career at Alabama, like a lot of the injuries, not that they weren't real injuries, but they're on plays that kind of look like just football plays,
right.
Not the type of play where, because right. That was the other thing about I think part of the reason why they could get away with the whole, it wasn't a concussion thing.
Right.
It wasn't like there's a moment where you're like, oh, he hit his head hard there.
Right.
Like,
no, right.
I think that's an interesting point.
Hit his head against the field.
He's been kind of brittle.
I can only hope. I'm now wishing a guy. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Maybe you're better than that.
It's not even that. I just think you and my wife yesterday, you and her Bills, like she's sulking the whole day.
It really
does. She thought it was over. I was like, this isn't college football.
It really does. It really is. I was remarking on this yesterday.
Do you think Miami's going to go to Buffalo in November?
Oh, no, I think the Bills are fine. The Bills, this is a little bit like, the Bills lost to the Cardinals last year.
The Jags!
Year. They lost to the Jags last year. They lost to the Cardinals on that freaking, Hail Mary.
Yes.
You're going to lose some games. I do worry about the injuries. I don't think anything's over, but it is amazing to me. What's amazing to me is the pain of being a sports fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked about this a little at the Open, but John Martin's pain yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
That's why you can't travel.
You can't
go watch your team.
I don't really enjoy it. I enjoy the offseason almost more than the season. They're the moments of being a sports fan when you're Tennessee right now, right?
Sure.
But isn't that just the best?
No, the rise is always the best part.
The rise is the best part. And
it's why I do think the Grizzlies are in a weird spot this year.
Oh, no, and we're in media days here.
Yeah.
It's going to start shortly. And, yes.
It's not like, oh, this is it. And they're not, unlike the Bills, they are not the preseason favorite to win the league. But there is this point
You could argue they're not quite in the Bengals situation from last year, but they're a little bit like, oh, look, Bengals are good now.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they lose some games.
Correct.
And you're like wondering, are they a fluke? And,
right.
And now, Burrow looked good yesterday, obviously. But they're a little bit there. Now there are there are expectations around this team, this Grizzlies team. There's no question there are expectations. I don't think that they're such that, you know, it's not with the Grizzlies. It's not, certainly not finals or bust. I don't think it's conference finals or bust.
No, I do think, though,
it's a weird thing. Like, last year, we had a, and it's funny, we've bumped, but we'll get back to the NFL in a second. Last year, we came into this season thinking,
just avoid the play-in.
If you avoid the play-in, that would be great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. I was a little bit, that's too much to ask. That has to be the bar. That's maybe too high a bar. But sure enough, they soared over that bar. Just avoid the play-in. Is there a bar? What's the bar?
So I don't know if you can define it like this, but in my head, I think this is kind of it. Like, I think the expectation now is
top
they should...
Top four to host a playoff series?
They should win a playoff series.
Okay, but win a playoff series. All right, what's the expectation? Let's back up. Regular season. I think what you could say is... I don't know it's a fair expectation, but I think I do.
I think 49 and a half wins.
I think when you were 56 wins last year and the two seed... I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the expectation should be, all right, maybe you don't, maybe you won't. Maybe that was getting a little lucky because the nature of the conference last year.
For sure.
And now you got Jaren's injury and everything else. Be a top four seed. How about that as a bar?
Yeah, I'm sitting in at 50 wins, whatever that looks like.
Well, I'm asked, yes. Okay, but what about 50 wins and sixth? Are you going to take that? I don't know. Let's put it in terms of seeding. If they are fifth seed with 50 wins, is that fine?
Yeah. Now, you're not going to have home court advantage.
I think it's relative. I think the bar is, but it's funny. Like you say that, should they be better than Phoenix? No, not necessarily. Should they be better than Golden State? No, not necessarily. Should they be better if healthy? Clippers? Kawhi's been cleared to play, right? No, not necessarily.
Should be better than
Denver? No, not necessarily. Should they be better than? Who am I missing here? Dallas? Should they be better? Yes, I guess.
Yes, I don't think Dallas got better last year. That's where they kind of are. Now, the question is, like, what about a team like Minnesota? Whereas maybe Minnesota, I think there are legitimate questions about Minnesota in terms of a playoff team. But in terms of a regular season team, I think that team makes a lot of
sense.
It's
such a freaking jumble. It is such a jumble. Anyway, we will talk more, obviously, about the Grizzlies. And as we've said earlier, you'll be getting sound from...
I'll tell you one team not in my power rankings.
Grizzlies presser. But back to the NFL. Wait, before we get to the teams that we're not in, the teams, to settle this, your power ranking is Dolphins, Eagles...
Buffalo.
Bills, Chiefs, and Packers.
I went Packers, but I'm also open to Ravens.
And the team not in your power rankings is...
It's just such a shame watching the Patriots lose at home as an underdog. You know, Bill Belichick's home opener.
Yeah, I have some.
I don't think they're good.
No, I don't think they're good. And now, obviously, Mac Jones is hurt. Although he was, you know, he had thrown three picks before getting hurt. My fear of the Patriots now. Now I want them to win some games. They're very clearly not good.
But you want them to not get all the ultimate draft picks.
It is so funny.
You don't want them to bottom out.
The way that I ultimately knew the Bills lost, because, of course, I had to turn it off at some point yesterday, was because Matt Stark texted me to taunt me, which he does. He's a Patriots fan. He said, I don't even care that my team got hurt. Yours lost. You know, whatever. Ooh, screw you. I don't ever engage in that. I don't go back at him because I don't do the back and forth with taunting people.
Yes, of course.
Teams. I'm above that. But what I worry about, I now want them to win some games.
You want them to replace the Bills as the
7-9 team. I don't need them. I don't want them to be the.
Go enjoy purgatory.
In this year, when it's loaded with quarterbacks coming out of college, I don't want this year to be the year they really, really suck. And so the Mac Jones injury wasn't actually. I took no pleasure in the Mac Jones injury. I think Bills can beat them with or without Mac Jones.
Well, and they only beat him by 50 in the playoffs.
So I am ready to have the Patriots to win seven games. I'm not ready to have the Patriots win one game. And now that happily they have the Jets in the division.
Yes.
So that should take care of some things. All right. To go over some other stuff that happened yesterday. We talked a little bit about it at the Open. What do you make of the Titans now? And what do you make of them? The Colts pulled out an unlikely win that did not persuade me they are good, honestly.
No, I agree.
But they got a win no one thought they'd get over Kansas City. You got Jacksonville with the most astounding result of yesterday, pounding the Chargers. Houston, yeah, whatever. Houston's Houston. So
the Bears are 2-1.
Who is favored to win that? The Bears are favored. Bears, by the way, in this weird position that they are 2-1. And if I were a Bears fan, I would be unhappy. Because the most important thing for me this year was that Justin Fields prove he's the guy. And I don't know if it's Justin Fields or the offense, but he is not, to me, proving he is the guy with the 5 sacks and 2 picks yesterday.
Yeah, I
They're not letting him throw for a reason.
I want to know, is that reason because the offensive line is so bad?
Yeah, because they don't have weapons. What's the reason?
Like, I want to know the real reason. Is it because they don't believe in him and they're trying to protect him? Or is it they are literally trying to just get through? This year is such a wash of a year that they're trying to get through this year unscathed. So right now, the Colts are favored to win the division at plus 106. So essentially even money. If you bet 100, you'd win 106. I kind of like the Jags. I don't think the Jags are a fluke. I don't think the Jags are a fluke. Like, if you look at that defense is nasty. And then offensively, they're starting to kind of come together. And while I never thought Peterson was like the brilliant genius that people tried to portray him as,
He's an upgrade.
When comparing him to Urban Meyer, that is literally Brady.
Urban Meyer is shorthand for dunce now.
Yes.
Like, he's Urban Meyer, once upon a time, was shorthand for one of the best coaches of greatness.
Yeah.
Now Urban Meyer has
correct
shorthand for, when comparing to Urban Meyer, it's as if you're rolling out.
Yes.
You know, the Mark Ivoroni era.
Yes, of course.
When comparing to Mark Ivoroni, like, that's what he's been turned into. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence with 262 yards, 3 touchdowns yesterday. First road win for the Jags since 2000.
And you can make the argument they should be 3-0. Like, they let a game slip away against Washington.
So you're favored there. And Titans Raiders, what did you think of that performance?
I thought it was encouraging for the Titans in the sense of you started to see them look more like you expected them to at the beginning of the year. The problem, though, is everybody moves the ball against the Raiders. So how much of that is Titans improving versus the Raiders just can't stop anyone? And then the other question with the Titans is, you know Lawan's going to be out for the year. Like, they just
that's the problem.
They have injuries that I don't know if they can overcome.
In terms of the Raiders, they're done.
I can't see that team division.
If I'm John, I'm not rooting for the draft pick. In that division,
yes.
I don't actually think 0-3 has to be fatal in the NFL right now.
No, I agree
with you. The seasons are getting longer and longer.
Correct.
And if you're in a watered-down division, it doesn't have to be the end of the world. They're not in a watered-down division, and they're not in a watered-down conference.
Right.
And so they're not going to make the playoffs. Davante Adams is an interesting story. In the NFL rankings of best players in the ESPN rankings of the best players in the NFL, he was way up there.
Yes.
Way up there. It goes to show the quarterback matters, doesn't it? And the offense matters. 5 catches, 36 yards.
Yes.
To
which I've always thought that.
And what do you think of Josh McDaniel?
I mean, at a certain point, how many coaches really fail and flame out and then wind up having a second act? Because while everyone always wants to point to Belichick, Belichick did take the Browns to the playoffs.
He was mediocre.
Correct. But, like, how many have been an unmitigated disaster and then ended up becoming something different?
So you're not persuaded. If I'm the Raiders now, I'm looking for that number one pick.
Yeah.
Although they're not going to get the number one pick. They're not.
Well, then the other problem is, like, how much can you, like, cut Carr's contract? Like, at a certain point, like, when you keep paying a guy, like, you can't just cut him. If you're trying to find that pick, like, it's supposed to be for this these quarterbacks.
Your man Baker got his first win.
Yeah, and he was on the field while
he was on the field. He had the nice touch, 67-yard touchdown pass to Laviska Shenault.
Yeah, it was
that
a check
was down. Nice. Yes, it was a check.
Yeah, he was on the field.
Laviska Shenault's good at running the ball once he gets the ball in his hand.
Yes, he's very fast.
He was on the field. Christian McCaffrey, 28 rush, 107 yards, and
now if you want to go real off the radar,
the defense won that game. Real off the radar. Is
Dan Campbell has been thinking that the Lions are underdogs for too long. Jeff, like, they're doing, I don't think they realize their team's not bad. Like, they kept going for it. And
well, so here you go. So here was the situation. Lions up 24-21. It's 4th and 4 at the Vikings 36.
Yes.
Okay. In the final minutes. Now, at that point, you could have punted.
No, kick it.
You could have gone for it. Well, they did kick it.
No. The one that I'm go to the possession before, they were like in, like it was a sub 50-yard field goal, and they went for it. It's like
this time they kicked it.
Correct. And he missed.
And missed it. And he said, I hate that decision.
Yes.
Is what he said. So I don't know. I think sneaky good game was Atlanta because he had both the drone and the corgi.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
The corgi on the field, a beautiful testament to the
queen. It's surprising that more games aren't shut down by drones, isn't it? Temporarily suspended because a drone appears?
I guess that's a good point, but I think it's kind of hard to get them. You know what I mean? It's almost like you have to be like at the stadium to get it up.
Do you? I don't.
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, I think you're probably right. The fact that it doesn't happen more often is probably a surprise.
Who was the woman who caught the corgi? Was that the woman's owner chasing the corgi?
I couldn't
tell. You didn't see it.
I did see it. I just couldn't tell if it was the owner, if it was like game ops. Someone from like game operation.
It's a fantastically elusive corgi.
Corgis are not exactly that slippery. You know what I mean?
I was impressed. By the corgi.
You don't sit there and go, corgi, you know what? That's true breakaway speed.
It's not. If I was an Australian Shepherd, they'd still be looking
exactly.
For that. Exactly. That game would still be 100%. Suspended. There's no way you catch an Australian Shepherd in that.
No, you don't even sit anyone out there. You're just like, okay, well.
3 hours.
We'll shut it down for about.
Yeah, exactly. Off, right?
Maybe it'll get tired.
Maybe it'll tire out in 3 games. Meanwhile, the Brett Favre show on Sirius has put on hold. And the Brett Favre show, the Packers Brett Favre show, they had a recap show up there.
Yeah.
That's already been suspended. So Brett Favre has been put on hold. Listen, we got to get down to FedEx Forum to talk to Assorted Grizzlies. We will be giving you reports throughout the day. Jeffrey's going to be down there. I'm going to be down there. And we will we'll be bringing you all the action from a FedEx Forum, including... including whatever update there is on Jaren Jackson's deal. What else is coming up, Jeffrey?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Mike Wall will join them around 11:30. Jason Fitz should join the guys at 1:25. TBD on the Giannotto and Jeffrey show. Mark and I are both going to be down there, so we're going to try and put together the best show possible. We're going to try to get lots of player interviews for you, as well as NFL college football recap. We'll do all that. The GP show at 4 o'clock. Jeff will join at 5.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.